March 30th, 2014, Sunday morning service. Today we are going to study from Letter to Philemon. Paul, prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, and our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Paul says that he is a prisoner of Christ Jesus. He said so in many places, and the word slave in Greek also means one who is tied or chained. In this letter, there is a character named Onesimus, and Onesimus was a slave of Philemon, but has run away. Onesimus then became a Christian and was returned to Philemon. Paul wrote this letter to Philemon, the slave owner. Back then, when slavery was practiced, people were purchased with a price, and the slave was obligated to provide the laborer for the master. Paul calls himself to be a bond servant of Jesus Christ, which also means a slave of Jesus Christ. And as we study the Bible, I realize that we are all slave of Jesus Christ, because slave is purchased with a price, and the price he paid was his blood. And as a slave of Jesus Christ, I believe Paul had a spiritually free life, spiritually rich and abundant life. When we hear the word like bondservant of Jesus Christ, most of us do not feel like this is about us. I don't think many Christians even think that we are a slave of Jesus Christ. But we are a slave. And as we commit ourselves to study the Word of God and live accordingly, a lot of opposite things start happening. We are slave to Jesus, but we become free from our sins and bondage of sins. And we also obtain freedom from earthly thoughts like bitterness and unforgiving thoughts. And we become free from peer pressure, and we are no longer afraid of death or Satan's threat. Most of the people only pick and choose the Bible verses that they like, but when we study the whole Bible as a Word of God, there's a blessing and the freedom that comes with it. And I know this is true because I have become free from many things. And some of the things the Bible tells you do not sound too appealing at first, but when we live accordingly, we realize that it is actually benefiting us. It's like an appetizing looking food, but then you realize that it is actually tasty only after you put it in your mouth. And the second verse. To the beloved Apphia, Archippus, a fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. This verse shows that their church service was held at home. They didn't have a church building or cathedral. This is the beginning of Christianity, so people are still meeting at home. And I really think this is the foundation of a church. The credential or membership or affiliation with some big name is not important. If we care too much about those things, we lose the most important thing. Jesus said, "Where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst." And this simple statement is the definition of a church, I think. And when I was thinking about the church, I felt like God has been telling me that I also have to go beyond where I am now. At this location, with this size, I have been doing what I have been doing according to my own ability. That has been fine with me. But I feel like this is not fine with God, because He wants us to care about other people too. And I really don't like to go out, but I felt like I needed to do something, so I called up some people, and they were actually happy to hear from me, and some people wanted me to come over to speak to them. So I went to Ibaragi, and these are the people who listen to our sermons, and they tell me that our sermon is their lifeline. And they may be saying this to be nice to me, but I was very happy that I went. And they told me that our remnant church has the truth, But since they are far away and they still want to go to church on Sunday, they go to their local church, but their local church does not have the truth, they say. And they sit there and listen to something that their spirit does not agree with, so they feel like they lead a double life. And I don't blame them for doing what they do, because if I were them, I would do the same thing. And when I was reading Titus, I felt like God was showing me the direction I needed to go. Because in Titus, Paul was talking about edifying and training elders for various churches. So I thought this may be what I need to do. I have to start training people to build churches. And I never thought I would do this. For over 10 years, I thought the work from here was sufficient. And another thing God has told me is that we cannot put new message into an old wineskin. The new wine needs to be put into a new wineskin. And after this revelation, I had again another revelation from this letter to Philemon saying that church is in the house. Well, in the eyes of God, church is church. So I felt like this is what I needed to do. I know that there are people who have been listening to our messages and I should be able to show them a solid direction, but I didn't know exactly what I needed to do, but a clear revelation came to me last week that a new wine to be put in a new wineskin, and if you pour the new wine into an old wineskin, the old skin would burst. And what Jesus was saying, or what Paul was teaching, did not fit into an old wineskin of Jewish teaching. That's why the new churches were created. And I felt like this was the new revelation God showed to me. So I just wanted to tell you that that's the direction that I would like this church to go, to support, to train, and to pray with anyone who have a heart to build churches in other areas in Japan. Verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God, making mention of you always in my prayers. It shows that Paul was praying about Philemon every day, not once in a while, but all the time. I tried to do that too. And I was not always like that. I was kind of lazy, so there were several people who I needed to pray, but they were not always mentioned in my prayer. But I tried to be better, and I made a list of people that I need to pray for. So I am praying for all of them now. And I also feel like this is my responsibility to pray for those who are working for this church. So not only this letter, Paul often says in his writing that I remember so-and-so in my prayer. So Paul always kept those people in his prayers. From verse 5, hearing of your love and faith which you have towards the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chain. Paul says, I might be very bold in Christ to command you, yet I rather appeal to you. This verse should make us think that Paul was in a position to command, yet he chose to appeal to Philemon. Please remember this attitude. Verse 11. Who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. And I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, but as it were, but voluntary. This is the attitude of the church. We, the church, cannot force anything on people. It all has to be voluntary. That is how God works. He never forces. I knew the Lord when I was in my 20s, but I only started doing the work for the Lord in my 40s, and the Lord patiently waited for me till my heart was ready. And Jesus never forces. So if you don't do anything and just waiting around, you might not receive any blessings either. I've read a book before about this communism and their underground churches. You know, the communism always order things around about what to do, where to do, and how to do things. And when a pastor of an underground church asked some converts what they loved about Jesus, many said they loved his meekness and humbleness. And they talked about the story of the road to Emmaus. When two men were walking, Jesus met them on the road and discussed about what happened in Jerusalem. And Jesus said to them that Christ would resurrect according to the scripture. Then their eyes were opened. And when they were about to spend the night at a village, they arrived. Jesus seemed like he would keep on walking, but they begged him to stay with them, and then he came along. The believers said that they loved the humbleness of Jesus because he probably would have wanted to stay with them, but he didn't show that or tell them so. He wanted these men to ask him to stay with him. I never thought of it that way, but when I read the book, I realized that maybe it is so. So I don't want to force anyone to do anything for this church either. The church I was with before, the pastor always knew how to ask people when he needed help. He would share his plan and he would ask everyone to pray about it. So when people do pray about it, and they would personally receive a message or impression from God. So now the decision is very personal. Then they would volunteer to help out. And I am trying to do just that. Verse 15. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that he might receive him, or you might receive him forever. Sometimes people are taken away from our lives for a reason, but it might be because they might come back to be in your life forever, so do not get discouraged. Verse 16, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. This heart of the Lord is shown in another place. Let's look at John chapter 15, verse 14. You're my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. For those who love God, God wants to be our friends. He is a commander-in-chief sitting on the highest throne, but he also wants to be a friend. A friend knows your heart and what you want to do. That's the characteristics of a friend. And I often think about a good friend of mine I once had when I was a student. And although I was a year older than him, he would always give me an advice, and he was an MC for my wedding. I just thought of having a simple wedding, but he wanted to make it special for me, and he would prepare a speech and share the script with me to hear my opinion, and he knew my weaknesses and strengths, and he was always there for me. And I believe that's who God wants to be for us. Even in the Old Testament, there are some people who were called a friend of God. Abraham was friend of God. God told him what he was about to do to Sodom. And Abraham tried to negotiate with God. When God considers your friend, God shares his plan with you. And since we are also receiving revelations on what is about to come, it may be that we are becoming his friend. And even if you don't have many friends because you come to this church, or if you have Jesus as a friend, you really don't need many people. My best friend died young in his 30s, and after that, it is difficult to find someone like that. But we first have to be a friend of God, and we all start from being a servant. And as we stay on that path, God gradually promotes us to become his friend. If someone friends me on Facebook, it does not really make me happy, but if God wants to be your friend, that is an awesome thing. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me, but if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers, I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, Spirit. Amen.